As we finish celebrating this week the freedoms that God has given to us through the nation that he has provided for us, we look then at select verses from Galatians 4 and 5, which teach us what true freedom is in Christ. Our first verse is from Galatians chapter 4, verse 7. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, than an heir of God through Christ. We often, in our sinfulness, believe that freedom is a right that we deserve. God's word shows us, however, that this is not the case. That freedom, rather, is a gift which God gives to us because of his grace and his mercy. Our Old Testament reading this morning paints for us a beautiful picture of what freedom is. In the description of that year of Jubilee, every year on the 10th day of the 7th month, the Hebrews would celebrate the Day of Atonement. They would come with blood and pour it out over the mercy seat, signifying the forgiveness, the covering of the sins of the people before God. They would do this every year for 49 years. And on the 49th year, on the very same day, on the Day of Atonement, along with the pouring out of that blood, they would sound forth the horns of Jubilee, proclaiming the beginning of the year of Jubilee. Every slave would be set free. Every debt was canceled. If anyone had sold their homes or their lands, it was returned to them. You heard how God describes they would return to their family, to the land that was their birthright. And all the people were to take a year of rest. They were not to work the field, but for the Lord himself would provide food for them. This year of Jubilee, this freedom that God gave, this returning of freedom that God gave to his people, was not something the people deserved. If the Hebrews were slaves in their own land, it was because they sold themselves into slavery, not because God had made them slaves. If the Hebrews were homeless, it was because they had sold the land, not because God hadn't provided them with land. And if they were in debt, it was because they had taken out loans that they could not repay. If any of them were in these situations, it was their own fault. And yet, every 49th year, God provided this release. This release from the slavery or the debt that they themselves had put themselves into. There is no recorded observation of this year of Jubilee. That doesn't mean that the Hebrews didn't ever celebrate it, but we have no record of them actually celebrating it. Until, of course, the coming of the Christ. Isaiah 61 reminds us, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Christ came to proclaim the year of Jubilee, the year of freedom, to set us free from the sin and the debt that we have gotten ourselves into. Christ came to give us a freedom that we do not deserve. By nature, we are slaves to sin, as Paul reminds us in Galatians and in Romans. Why? Why are we slaves to sin? Because we ourselves choose to make sin a part of our life, to partake in sin. And when we choose to partake in sin, that sin, without Christ, would destroy us. It would take over our lives. It doesn't matter what sin we're talking about, does it? It doesn't matter if we're talking about anger or resentment or drunkenness, or drugs, or pornography, or any other sin. When we choose to partake in sin, it becomes our master. It takes over our lives. Except Christ came to set us free. The blood of Christ proclaims the restoration of our homes. The blood of Christ poured out before that mercy seat of God proclaims the year of freedom. Freedom from sins which we ourselves have bound ourselves to. Freedom is the gift of God through Jesus Christ. It's not something we deserve, but something which God gives to us. Having then been set free, Paul goes on to tell us not to submit ourselves once again to that slavery to sin. Galatians 5, verse 13. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty, only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. In our sinfulness, we often believe that freedom means I can do whatever I want. I can live however I like. No one can tell me what to do and not to do. That's how our sinful flesh views freedom and liberty. But Paul reminds us in Galatians 5:13 that freedom is not an opportunity to serve and indulge in our sinful flesh, but rather an opportunity to serve one another. This was something that, to some extent, even our founding fathers understood. No doubt they understood it from the scriptures. That is that freedom and democracy only work when individuals are responsible with the freedom that they have received. If individuals use freedom and democracy for selfishness, it will be lost. It's true in our nation. It's true in our family. It's true in our church. It's true in the way that we deal with one another. That we have been called to freedom, not so that we can live as we want, but so that we can serve one another. Martin Luther, when he was commenting on this very verse, talked about how he preached freedom in Christ. How he preached the grace of God, the free grace of God, the gift which is ours in Jesus, that our sins are forgiven, and that we are no longer slaves to sin, and that we don't have to work to pay off our debts, but that it is canceled through Jesus Christ. He goes on to describe how many people used this freedom, this grace of God that he preached and which is given to us in the gospel as an excuse to live however they wanted, to indulge in every fleshly desire. Such people, Luther said, are swine. And he even went on to say that he could almost wish that such people were subject once again to the papacy with its rules and its laws, because they misuse and abuse this wonderful gift that is ours in Christ Jesus. Luther says they don't deserve the grace that was given to them. Such people transform the freedom of Christ into a license for the lust of the flesh, and we have to admit that such people we at times are, abusing and trampling the grace of God as a license to live as we want instead of to live in the righteousness of Christ. Many years ago, some friends and I were driving along the Monterey Bay coast in California. And on one side you have the Monterey Bay, and on the other side you have these high hills. And I said to my friends, look, Let's have a little adventure. Let's go and climb these hills over here. There was no path up the hill, but we decided we were going to climb through. That makes it all the more exciting, right? We were young. We can do what we want, find adventure. We spent the next week with the worst case of poison oak I've ever had in my life. I've had some pretty bad poison ivy, but nothing can compare to that week of misery. Every piece of our body was just covered in itchy boils. We thought we could do as we want, but the result was not a week of freedom, but a week stuck at home in misery. Such is the result for those who think that the freedom that we have in Christ is opportunity to live as they want. The result is not freedom, but slavery to sin. But we preach Christ crucified. And the freedom that is ours through him, freedom to live in his righteousness. As Paul reminds us in Romans, there is now no condemnation for us. We are free from our sin, from the guilt and the consequences of it. And because we are free from sin, we ought to use that to serve one another in love. Paul goes on to describe in Galatians 5:1 then, the need to protect this freedom. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty which Christ has made us free. and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. In our sinfulness, we often take these freedoms that we have for granted and think that they'll always be there. But Paul reminds us that freedom is a thing that must be watched, guarded, protected. As long as we are on this earth, it is impossible to take such freedom for granted, because wherever there is freedom, there are evil men who will attempt to enslave, if we are not watchful, those for their own greed, those who have been set free. We certainly see this in the history of our nation, that from the very beginning of our nation, there were those who used their freedom as a means to enslave others, and they still do to this day, maybe not so openly as they used to. It's not called slavery anymore, but there are ways that greedy men use freedom to enslave others. Even more so, Paul warns us that there are evil men everywhere who will seek out our freedom in Christ and attempt to enslave us once again to the law of God and to the guilt of our sin. Jude, we don't often read from Jude, but we get an opportunity today. Jude reminds us of this in Jude 1:4. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation. Ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. For this reason, Paul encourages us to stand fast. By that he means to keep watch, to stay on guard, lest this freedom, this grace of God that is preached and proclaimed to us, this freedom that Christ won for us on the cross when he died for our sins, be stolen from us. You know, if you're a slave, you don't really have to worry. Your master will fight for you. That is, he's not going to fight for your rights. He's not going to fight for your good. But if you're a slave, your master will fight to make sure you remain as a slave, won't he? If you're a slave, you really don't have to worry, like, oh, somebody might trick me into freedom. I have to watch out to guard my status as a slave. It's not really a problem if you're a slave. But when you are set free, as we have been in Christ, then many will attempt to lure you into slavery. Jesus makes that very point in the parable of the house, the empty house. Remember the man who had a demon, was possessed by demons, and the demon is cast out and his house is set in order, but he doesn't keep watch, he doesn't stand guard, and the demon returns with even more friends, and his latter state is worse than his former. Having been set free, Jesus teaches us, you must watch out lest you be subject again to the law of slavery. As Paul warns us in our verse, stand fast. And as we heard in our gospel lesson from Jesus, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's how we stand fast. That's how we watch out, isn't it? By reading God's word, by living in his word, by constantly being reminded that our sins are forgiven in Jesus Christ, and no matter what anybody else says, there is nothing that we can do to earn or deserve, but that we are truly forgiven. This is the truth that makes you free, that you who were dead in sins are forgiven through Jesus Christ. Since you have been set free, since you have been forgiven, do not let anyone convince you ever that there is anything you have to do to earn God's love. We proclaim the year of Jubilee. We proclaim the freedom that is ours through Christ. Sins forgiven, debt canceled, slaves set free. Having been set free, do not return to live in sin, but rejoice in Christ's righteousness and stand guard, keep watch, that freedom in Christ may never be taken from you. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.